this episode, I want to talk about the difference between a psychic and a medium. A psychic is someone who tunes into the auric field of a living person, and a medium is one who can tune into the auric field of a dead person. A psychic will pick up a lot of information, and they can pick up the past, present, and future of that person through their auric field and give a reading based on it. A medium does the same sort of thing, but for some reason they can tune into those who have passed over. Not all psychics can do this, but all mediums have to be psychic and able to work with the spirit world. The difference is sometimes difficult to tell, because if you pick up the memories of someone's loved one in a psychic reading, you might feel like you're connecting with that person. A medium feels, sees and hears the words, the thoughts and the images given to them by the spirit world. From what I've learned from the spirit world, this is built up over many lifetimes, and you are born as with the abilities of a medium and you develop them further. I can only assume the psychic is developing these faculties and one day they will open up to communication with the spirit world. The psychic reading can be very impressive, but giving predictions can be dangerous, because if they don't work out the way they're given, it can disappoint the person having the reading, to the point that they may even make financial decisions based on it which don't turn out very well. You can be sued for this sort of thing. So predictions for a medium, they come from the spirit world, who have a slightly better view of what the future brings. But typically, mediums will try to avoid this. The spirit world will give information in a delicate manner, which then transpires. So it's not of the medium, whereas the psychic is using their own faculties to extract this information. For mediums, we say a key phrase, from spirit, through spirit, to spirit, which kind of gives a mechanics to how the mediumship works. It's coming from the spirit world, through you as a spiritual being, to the spiritual being of the person you're giving the reading to. A medium will work clairvoyantly, clairaudiently, or clairsentiently. Clairaudience is hearing, clairvoyance is seeing, and clairsentience is feeling. There's also claircognizance, where you somehow just know, and you can't quite explain how. Most mediums will be stronger with one form of mediumship than another. There's a lot of mediums who have a mixture of all three or four types of sentience, senses. Most of us have these inner senses quite strongly when we dream. In our dreams, we can dream in colour or black and white. We can dream and hear people talk, but everyone's slightly different. And if you already dream in colour and you have powerful dreams, chances are you can develop your mediumship because you have that inner eye, that inner vision. And the inner realms are almost as equally extensive as the outer realms. They can be more strange, more fantastic. So to go into these inner realms can be a bit mind-blowing. That's why we connect with our spirit guides who help guide us along our path. They help us and they help to construct the mediumship. If you think maybe God is some sort of managing director and he issues instructions to his officers, the angelic realm, who then delegate responsibility to guides and helpers who orchestrate the mediumship from the other side. Because our loved ones, when they pass over, they don't become mediums instantaneously. They don't become all-knowing beings. They need assistance in communicating with us, as we need assistance connecting with the spirit world through our guides. A psychic will pretty much work just on their own intuition, whereas a medium is attuning with the spirit world every time. It's helpful to be able to pick up on energies when you enter a room, but there's a point at which a psychic connection with another person is classed as assault in a way. You should require permission. People who just walk around picking up on other people, trying to give readings without being asked, that's a very unhealthy way of working. It doesn't do much justice to the craft. And it's also dangerous just to go around picking up energies. There's two types of people in life, in every walk of life: givers and takers. People who naturally just draw energy from other people, they can be quite offensive in a way. They attach to people, they draw energy off of them. They can be called psychic vampires, which is a very dramatic way of saying it, but it is quite true. They won't even realise this a lot of the time. They'll just call themselves empaths, and they say they can pick up on energy off people. And then, although sometimes you do need to know whether someone you're around is safe to be around, if they're going to be nice people or if they've got issues, for your own self-defense, it's good to be able to tell the difference, friend or foe. But just going around picking up energy off people at random instances will deplete your own spiritual energy as well. When you work with the spirit world, you're connecting with their energy. So you're not depleted after you've given a reading. You're not depleted after you've been attuning for healing. Whereas if you don't connect with the spirit world and you don't ground yourself to the earth, you end up depleting your own energy. So the person getting the reading or the healing can walk off feeling great because they've taken a portion of your energy. But it won't last long, and it will soon deplete. And then both yourself and the person having the healing or the reading will both be depleted of that energy. Whereas if it's coming from the spirit world, it's an abundant, unlimited source of power. It can be subtle or it can be powerful and strong and noticeable. But either way, if it's coming from the spirit world and it's coming through your spirit as a channel to that person, you're creating a connection. And especially when it comes to healing, that connection can build up and get stronger. And that person can go away feeling energized. And that healing can continue because it's coming from a spiritual source. Whereas if it's purely energy based on the psychic energy, it won't last long. When tuning into the spirit world, it takes time to get your experience and know the difference. For some people, they'll get a physical feeling to begin with, because they need to have that physical feeling. They need to feel overshadowed by the spirit world, or their confidence will be very low. After a while, it becomes almost like clicking on a switch. And when you turn a light on, when you walk into a room, it usually takes a few moments for that light to come onto full power. And that should be as long as it takes for you to find your attunement. It should only take a few moments. But you will learn the difference, and you will feel the spirit world come close to you. And you will start to realize that the information you're giving is coming from the spirit world and not just from a psychic connection with the sitter. When it comes to the evidence, if you can just pick up memories from in a psychic connection, then how do you know that it's the spirit world talking and not just a memory? So for mediumship, we try to gain evidence that the person receiving the reading doesn't have in their mind. It's not in their aura. So this needs to be information separate to their life. And not only that, it's even better evidence when an event or a conversation is described by the spirit person that has happened after that spirit person has passed. That way it's showing that that spirit person is an active intelligence that continues after their death. And even better if that conversation or event is separate to the person having the sitting, so it wasn't on their mind or in their memories when they came in for the reading. that kind of evidence takes a while for the medium to develop. It takes attunement, it takes practice. Sitting in circles and having a good mentor are ideal to help draw these gifts out of you. But they do come under the guidance of the spirit world. There's also the differentiation between what people think of as a natural medium and one who's been developed and trained. Typically, most people have mediumistic gifts while they're still children. And then around prepubescent age and through puberty, this disappears in most people. Then later in life, something happens and triggers a thought in us, and we go on a journey looking for answers, looking for truth. And as we come across mediumship, it triggers something in us, and our latent gifts come to the surface, and then we develop them. There are people who they never lose their gift through puberty, and they continue to speak to and see the spirit world throughout their life. A lot of people put a premium on these sorts of mediums, and although that may be true in some sense, they still require training to be able to present it and explain it the way I have just done. You learn that from mentors and from people who have learned how to present it publicly, because there are laws and consumer protection acts that we can easily fall foul of if we're not careful. There shouldn't really be a difference between a trained medium and a naturally gifted medium, because all mediums are naturally gifted. It's a natural ability. And as the spirit world told me, this is developed over many lifetimes. If someone has it, they've earned it. Not all mediums or psychics can be particularly nice people. It doesn't depend on their behaviour or their attitude. You may hear people say that your gift will be taken away from you if you misuse it. Well, I don't believe that's true. I've seen plenty of people misuse their gift, and still they work very well for the spirit world. They might do it for money, they might do it for fame, yet they can still do it. And there are many people who are very humble servants of the spirit world, and when they go through problems in their life, their gift is diminished. And it's not because of their behaviour, it's because of their health or their mind state. Some people are very long-lived mediums, and some are very only short-lived. And I will say that I've watched quite a few people get a bit carried away with themselves, and as soon as they can give a message, they've gone as a full-time medium, and after 2 or 3 years, they run out of energy and they start doing other jobs. They get very disappointed and disillusioned. Because when they first start doing readings, everyone wants to see what they're like, so they do very well, and they think that it's going to be very successful. Then once everyone's had a reading with them, there's only so many that are going to give them repeat business. And there's only so many people looking for a reading as it is. So you'll see quite a few people start off doing very well, and then get very disappointed when they have to find other work, or they have to diversify all the therapies that they can offer in order to keep working. I'm of the feeling that the spirit world, if you offer to work with them, they will give you the work that you need. You don't need to really push yourself out there too much. Carry on with your normal life, your normal day job, but set time aside for the spirit world and they'll work with you. Most people are going to tell you that they just don't have the time. But then they'll ask you if you've seen the box set on Netflix that they've just watched. So they do have the time. But we all need time to ourselves, time to relax, time to take care of ourselves and pamper ourselves. But I'm sure you'll find an hour or two a week where the spirit world will know that you're prepared to work, and they'll bring the people to you if you meet them halfway. I'm not saying that you should treat it as a hobby, because I think it's more important than that. But being a medium, you have to be prepared that there will be times when you don't work and times that you do. I've not met anyone who's gone full time and it be a roaring success. The few that do make a good living out of it have to work very hard at advertising, and you can see that they get a bit disgruntled. It's not what they thought it was going to be. It's a lot of hard work, and you're dealing with sensitive people. You're dealing with the unknown, and you're dealing with people who want predictions that everything's going to be all right. And if you start giving less than positive readings, people will stop coming back. So you're then compelled to give positive readings all the time. And not everyone's going to have a positive future. So you have to be very careful how you word things. The Consumer Protection Act protects anyone who's getting a service, whether they pay for it or not. And you have to be careful what you guarantee. And when it comes to mediumship and healing, there can be no guarantees. We can only provide pieces of evidence. Together, those pieces of evidence point to some sort of proof of the afterlife, some sort of proof that spiritual and healing energies are real. But they're not concrete evidence in the eyes of the law. So be very careful when you decide to work for the spirit world. There are insurance policies that you can take out, but you do need to arm yourself with the knowledge of how these insurance companies work, what you can and can't guarantee, and what you can and can't say publicly. Working as a medium, you're going to be on your own a lot. And the advice is to always have a third party present. That's not always easy. Today you can record all your conversations, and it's probably advisable that you do so. But remember, your words matter to the people you're giving them to. They will hold on to those words in a way that you don't. When you finish a reading, you might not remember anything you've just said. So you have to really build up that relationship with the spirit world. You really have to build up a good practice. And that doesn't come easy, whether you're naturally gifted from birth or whether you've had to develop it later on in life. These rules are still going to apply with you regardless. Psychics and mediums are able to help people. They're able to counsel people, to help them deal with grief, loss, and also pain. We're put into a very wonderful position, but we have to be careful not to turn into counsellors. If you are a qualified counsellor, that's a separate discipline and should be done separately. If you can offer someone counselling, you then offer them an appointment at a later date. But you don't mix the two, because then suddenly your insurance as a medium or a psychic is invalid. And especially when it comes to healing. The healing arts are many today. You've got as many forms of Reiki as people can imagine, and many different forms of spiritual healing. People will say, well, if spiritual healing works, why don't they use it in hospitals? And the fact is, they do. But church and state were separated by the government many years ago. And if you talk about God or a deity, you're classed as religious, and they don't want that in hospitals. But energy-based healers are actually employed by certain trusts. You'll find Reiki healers working in hospitals as complementary therapists. And if asked to attend, a spiritual healer can go into a hospital quite legally and give spiritual healing to a patient if they've been asked to. In the UK, it was made lawful for a doctor to prescribe spiritual healing in the late 70s. This wasn't made public knowledge, but they accepted the reality of spiritual healing. And if a patient has been classed as incurable, all the placebos and all the treatments aren't working, they can ask to see a spiritual healer, and their doctor can prescribe it. It probably doesn't happen very often, and because of the nature of medical records, it's private. But it does happen, and it is classed as a legal form of complementary therapy, which means it's not an alternative to medical practice, but it can work alongside it. And I found in my practice that it works wonders. It doesn't always have a physical outcome that we wish for, but spiritual healing is of the spirit. And the spirit governs the mind, the emotions, and the body. So whatever it is that ails someone, spiritual healing can benefit, even if it helps them cope with it better. But you can't guarantee it, because if someone does get better and there's no other reason for it other than spiritual healing, the medical profession will just class it as a spontaneous healing and won't credit the spirit healer, which is fine with us. We don't mind. We're just glad that the energies can come from the spirit world to them and help them when they need it.